Good morning. Welcome to the Seeds of Truth, brought to you by the Rivermont Church of Christ, meeting at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Your speaker is Robert Swain. Something explosive happened in Jerusalem one day. Oh, I'm not talking about some fairly recent bombings by terrorists that have taken the lives of many people. I'm talking about something more earth-shaking, more far-reaching than all that. It happened almost 2,000 years ago, and the results continue to be felt around the world. It was the beginning of what we call Christianity, the beginning of the Lord's Church. The first few chapters of the book of Acts describe that beginning. In Acts chapter 2, we learn that 3,000 Jews who less than 2 months earlier had demanded of Pilate that he crucify Jesus Christ, 3,000 of them became believers in Christ Jesus and were baptized in his name for the remission of their sins, according to Acts 2:38 through 41. To do what they did meant alienation from their families, from the entire Jewish community, but they did it anyway. It meant rejection in the business community, the marketplace, and the job market, but they did it anyway. It meant persecution, imprisonment for some, and death for others, but they did it anyway. The Lord kept on adding them to his church day after day, those who were being saved, as Acts 2:47 informs us. In the fourth chapter, the men had come to number 5,000. By the fifth chapter, the number had increased, verse 14. In the sixth chapter, the number had multiplied in verse 1. And multiplied exceedingly in verse 7. And on the story goes, chapter after chapter, the story of the greatest and fastest growing movement in history was turning the world upside down, according to Acts 17 and 6. By the turn of the first century, Christianity numbered more than 1 million. What made such a force? Why did it spread so quickly from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world? What gave it its drive, the power to override very, very intense persecution and opposition, so that in only one generation it had taken its message to every creature which is under heaven? So states the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 and 23. Certainly the dynamics of the new church was not in the people chosen to tell the story about Jesus. Oh no, for you see, the apostles were not chosen from the great religious or educational or cultural leaders of the world. Jesus didn't go to Alexandria or Corinth or Rome or Athens or even to Jerusalem to find them. He didn't go to the school of Gamaliel and choose men with degrees in Jewish theology. He didn't go to the Sanhedrin. He didn't seek the rich and the powerful of his day. As a matter of fact, it's written in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, answered his invitation. Rather, he went out by the sea and found some lowly fishermen to be the spokesman for his cause, recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. He found a despised tax collector and enlisted him. In Acts 4 and 13, they were called unlearned and ignorant men. The powerful influence on Christianity in the first century was not in its flexibility or its broad-minded, unbiased ways of adapting to the cultural norms of the society in which it went. It was not in its flexibility to allow for the greatest measure of personal freedom and faith and morals.